Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Good morning to you, peeps. It's July 12th. Is 2018 going faster than any year in history? Man, I feel like it's flying. I know it's relative, though. I try to tell myself that there are always 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week. Except that it sure does feel like the time goes faster or slower based on whether I'm excited about something or I'm procrastinating something. This year feels like it is flying. I do not know what happened to the first 6 months of the year, but they're gone. See ya in the rearview mirror. And here we are, nearly mid-July. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We stumbled upon, I would call this an odd topic. I don't know that I anticipated it even being interesting to anyone, really, except for me, because I'm a nerd. The number 19, I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to chew over it. I know a lot of you are just waking up on this Thursday morning, and so maybe you missed the first couple hours of the show, but that's okay. You are never too late. You're right on time. The number 19 is magic on this show. 19s are wild on this show. And there's a reason for sure. I asked, when we first started the show, I asked people to tell me why 19 would be special for this particular edition of After Hours. And some of you pointed to the baseball scores from Wednesday night. I mean, it's I think, pretty obvious if you're looking around in sports and you see two different teams with 19 in their box score. But how about, let's expand it a little more. It's not just two different teams with 19s in their box score. It's two different teams with 19 in their box score twice. This is, I don't know. If it's happened in baseball before, it can't be all that common.
Desmond hits it high and deep and way out of here. Cut course time. Touch of all time for Ian Desmond.
And a ground ball right side. That's a base hit in the right field. Blackman scores. Gonzalez scores. Holding at third base is Parra. And Desmond comes through again. Five RBIs for Ian Desmond.
It's to Gonzalez, the 0-1, and that one is sent deep to left field. Going back is Peralta onto the track. This one is gone.
He drives this one to center field. Pollock at the wall. It's gone. Carlos Gonzalez with his second homer of the night. There's a drive by Herman Marquez. Has he done it? Yes, it's gone. Touch them all time for Herman Marquez. His first big league home run. And it's 19-1 Rockies.
The Colorado Rockies scored 19 runs. Jerry Schemmel and Jack Corrigan on the Rockies radio network. They were busy on Wednesday night. They weren't the only team to have 19 runs, though. The Cleveland Indians also plated 19 runs, but here's the weird part. That in and of itself is, I think, odd, a little quirky, but do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do when you consider that both the Rockies and the Indians needed 19 hits to plate their 19 runs. So not only are we seeing double with the 19, we're seeing quadruple. We're four eyes on this edition of the show. 19s are wild. They're magic. And so I thought to myself, self, actually, I didn't really. This is honestly one of those things I didn't even think about. It just came out of my mouth. I have such a gift. I thought, What about the best 19s in sports? What are they? And boy, you have blown me away with your responses. A couple of them I came up with off the top of my head, and I'm really glad that someone else mentioned Joe Thornton. I've now seen it on both Twitter and Facebook. He's my favorite hockey player, and so he's my favorite 19. But man, I wasn't really thinking about the number of Hall of Famers who wore the number 19. We thought we'd put together a Twitter poll and then realized we'd be lambasted for trying to narrow down the 19s to just four that were the most iconic. So we said, forget that. And you have been blowing up our Twitter and Facebook all night. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then producer Chris is retweeting. Yes, he is. Hurricane Chris is retweeting. We tweet! Ignore me. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Again, they're just you're coming up with unique answers. And yes, we're getting a bunch of repeats. And I'm certain that we will this hour of the show because we've got a bunch of people who are waking up for the first time. But the cool thing is every now and then you're bringing out some other 19s that I just hadn't thought of or hadn't been mentioned yet. So pretty cool. We're going to continue with that. 855-212-4227. That's how you can reach us inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. But even as we're letting you think about the 19s, I want to mention a couple of other things. For instance, the Home Run Derby field has been set. And you want to talk about odd. Not only are there seven first-timers along with Bryce Harper, who, of course, be the hometown favorite at Nationals Ballpark next Monday. But in addition to the seven first-timers, it's seven National Leaguers, which is weird. So there's only one guy who's been in the Home Run Derby before, and there's only one guy who represents the AL.
Baez drives one in the air, deep right center field. That ball's got a chance at the wall, leaping is Duggar, and that ball is a home run. Javier Baez ties the game with a home run.
Here's the 2-0. Here's a fly ball to right field. Muncy sending Polanco to the wall. He looks up, and it's gone. Max Muncy with another one.
And the pitch swung on and crushed. High and deep left field. Soto back, track, wall, and gone. Rhys Hoskins, a two-run home run.
1-1 to Aguilar. Hit in the air, a ton to center. Where's this one going to land? All the way off the scoreboard. Big man hit ball far. Three-run homer for Aguilar.
To Bregman, and he rifles it. Long, high, deep and far. Home run number 17 for Bregman.
Schwarber drives one in the air, deep left center field. It's got a chance. Gone. Get out the tape measure for Kyle Schwarber.
Hit well, high and deep to right field against that St. Louis skyline. Kiss that thing goodbye. A two-run shot by Freddie Freeman.
Harper swings and drives one to deep center. Jankowski back, can only watch it. Way, way out of here and gone. Goodbye.
This is going to be fun, but it's also going to be fresh blood. So we appreciate the radio teams of the Cubs, the Dodgers, the Brewers, the Astros, the Phillies, the Braves, the Nats. Only Alex Bregman comes from the American League. Otherwise, you're talking about three from the NL East, three from the NL Central, and one from the NL West. So this is going to be cool, I think. I'm hoping that Bryce Harper will light the crowd on fire. I don't really care who wins. It's a home run derby, for heaven's sakes. But it would be awesome if Harper would perform well, would maybe get out of that. How many rounds are there again? They change the format so often that I can't keep up. Is it two rounds preliminarily and then the final? It would be awesome if we had just a really incredible atmosphere. I mean, I think that would be a lot more fun, and it makes the home run derby that much more interesting. Let's see if we can get some kind of moonshots, too, like Aaron Judge had a year ago. I mean, he was toast of the town when, as a rookie for the Yankees, he won that home run derby. Although, I don't know we'll ever have any scientific proof of this, but not long after he won the home run derby, he also set a record for most consecutive games with a strikeout. So there is a fair there is a fair number of people, there is a fair number of people who would tell you that if you're attempting to get out of a slump like Bryce Harper is, it's probably not a great idea to participate in the Home Run Derby. But I'm glad he is not going to listen to those who would tell him you got to focus on what you got going on with the Nationals. And I think it's going to be awesome. We always should have one guy who is the local favorite and who can get the crowd whipped into a frenzy. So there are your seven competitors. Honestly, I look forward to the Home Run Derby even more than I look forward to the All-Star Game, especially now that there's nothing riding on it. I kind of like the fact that there was an implication for the winner or the loser. And I know I get shouted down. I'm on my island. It's probably not fair that it determined home field advantage in the postseason or in the World Series, excuse me. But I kind of like the fact that there was an edge to the game. This is the only All-Star Game that I watched start to finish. But now that there's nothing riding on it, it's not quite as much tension. But I'll still watch. I'm looking forward to it next week in D.C. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What else? Oh, it was a miserable sports day for our friends across the pond. Not only did England lose in the World Cup semifinal and set an entire nation into hysterics. Honestly, have you seen some of the news? It's not just sports channels who are covering the World Cup, of course, but it's also news stations, and I heard it on the way coming into work, just the report on crying English football fans, which, okay, there was a hope there for a while. They're still alive. They're just not going to compete for the championship. And so they lose an extra time to Croatia. Croatia gets into the World Cup final for the first time in its history.
Magisterial!
And if I'm not mistaken, they're the second smallest nation ever to compete in a World Cup final. That's incredible. Good for Croatia. Some sort of obscure stat or obscure piece of information, but really cool. And then you've got France, who of course has been there before. But two things. England falling short, of course, means there are souls who are crushed all over Great Britain. But then you had Wimbledon. Now, I'm psyched for John Isner, who at 33 years old is into his first ever Grand Slam semifinal. This American has worked really hard, and he's waited a long time. He went 41 Grand Slam tournaments before he finally reached a semifinal. So that's amazing. Yay.
It was just a matter of time, America.
USA, USA. And Kevin Anderson has never been into a Wimbledon semifinal. He was the runner-up at the U.S. Open a year ago, the great South African. That's going to be a clash of the titans when it comes to service games. They're both really tall. The issue is that Kevin Anderson took advantage of a collapse by Roger Federer, the great Roger Federer, eight-time champion. He had a match point. He failed to close out the match in the third set and then steadily and slowly lost his entire lead. And then in the fifth set, they went to the 24th game and he just wasn't able to pull it out. And so it was a stunning collapse because that's not usually what happens with Federer. He's usually the one that is so steady and is so methodical about closing out opportunities when he has them. But he's also a fan favorite at the All England Club. And so coupled with the English losing in the World Cup semifinals and then their favorite being ousted in the quarterfinals at Wimbledon, it was a rough day. But you know what? Here in the United States, we can't say a bloomin' word because we didn't even make the tournament. So your favorite 19s in sports. So far, I've got a couple of my favorite answers, like Joe Thornton, of course. But also, we had a Packers fan who mentioned that 1919 was their first year competing as a franchise, which is pretty darn cool. But who are your favorite 19s in the history of sports? A-Law Radio on Twitter and also on our Facebook page. After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Coming up, if you missed my conversation with longtime Red Sox and baseball insider and reporter Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe, he was great. We had him on the show in our first hour because the Red Sox have to have a flaw, right? They have to have a weakness, don't they? Another 9 wins in a row. They're at 65 wins overall, and we haven't even hit the All-Star break yet. At this point, if the Red Sox don't eclipse 100 wins, it's a major letdown for them internally. I don't even mean for the fan base. I mean internally. The expectations have got to be soaring. And how did Alex Cora get so comfortable so fast? You'll hear a bit of that conversation with Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe coming up. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
And a swing and a grounder, fair down the left field line, hugging the line, rolling all the way to the corner. Mookie scores. Benintendi hits there. He's being waved home. Here comes the relay by Andrus. No, he holds the ball instead. Two-run score, two-run double. J.D. Martinez, 3-0 Red Sox.
2-2.
Swing and a miss. Strike three. A dozen for Sale. He strikes out three after giving up the leadoff single to Jurickson Profar. Chris Sale has been incredible.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voices of Joe Castiglione and Tim Neverett on the Red Sox Radio Network. Let's recap, shall we? J.D. Martinez, Chris Sale. Yep, that's a formula. Plus, 9 more wins in a row and 65 wins overall. But every team has a flaw, right? Every team has a weakness. It's just not Chris Sale in the month of June or July. Listen to this. Now, last night he had 7 innings of scoreless ball, 12 Ks, lowered his ERA to 2.23. But if we narrow the focus on Sale's last 7 starts, I saw this from the Red Sox Twitter account. In his last 7 starts, Sale's ERA is 0.94. He has 78 strikeouts against 10 walks.
Nerd alert!
You know what that is? That's Clayton Kershaw territory. Remember, he gets in those types of grooves, and his numbers are so minuscule. And this is the AL East we're talking about. Not that all of those starts were against the AL East, but generally, you're talking about having to face the teams in your own division with big bats. So Sale has recorded at least 11 strikeouts and 1 walk or no walks in 5 consecutive starts. That's the longest such streak in baseball history. And just for good measure, he has not allowed a home run in his last 51 innings pitched.
Pretty good.
Yeah, you think? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I had a chance to catch up with Pete Abraham, the great Red Sox writer and reporter from the Boston Globe, during our first hour. And we talked about the Red Sox for sure. You can get that on our podcast. But I wanted to ask him about Alex Cora. And what about this first-time manager makes him the right fit to be the leader of this team?
Well, two things. The first is that he played for the Red Sox, and he understands what it's like to play in this market, the expectations, how much media there is in this market, all of that kind of stuff. He lived it as a player. He sat in the same clubhouse that his players sit in now, and he knows how they feel. And the second thing that made him such a good fit for them is that he was a member of the media before he got back in uniform. He works for ESPN, so he understands kind of what the media is looking for, what the questions are intended to convey, and what the good answers are that aren't going to get him in trouble. And he manages to diffuse a lot of potential controversies by saying the right thing, laughing off questions that are intended to try to maybe get an answer that's going to cause controversy. He knows how to deal with what modern-day media is, with social media and with all the different ways that people can broadcast information, whether it's in print or on TV or on the radio or podcasts, everything else. He knows what everybody's kind of trying to do, and he has a way of answering the questions and fulfilling those obligations without it getting back to the clubhouse and making the players feel uncomfortable.
Out of curiosity, do you think those same two factors also help Aaron Boone?
Absolutely. And I don't think it's a coincidence that those guys come from very similar backgrounds, baseball families, people who were in the media, people who played for their respective teams, guys who were respected players when they played, although not necessarily superstars by any means. I think that allows them to relate not only to their players, but to the front office and to the media and to all of the different, I guess, constituencies that they have to relate to. Mm. And if you think the way baseball is covered now, that a manager doesn't have to deal with the media, I mean, I think you're sorely mistaken. If you have a good relationship with the media, and that's not to say you're palling around with the media, but if you just are able to control the relationship and make it a two-way street, I think it's going to be a lot easier for any manager in any market.
Pete Abraham, part of that media, so am I. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, Pete covers the Red Sox for the Boston Globe. You've covered baseball for a long time, more than 15 years, and so certainly this Red Sox-New York rivalry has gone through a bunch of different transformations. It hasn't always looked the same over the course of you know, the last 20 years or so. But the Yankees are a team that likes to have its toys. They like to have as many free agents, as many big hitters, as many big names as they possibly can. And now we hear this link between Manny Machado and potentially the Yankees. What's your reaction to that?
You know, I mean, obviously I don't see the Yankees every day like I used to, but in watching them against the Red Sox, I think it's been 9 games now. To me, they seem like a team that needs a starting pitcher, not another infielder.
Mm.
And Machado is a tremendous player. He's one of the best, probably 5-6 players in the game right now. But he's very adamant about wanting to play shortstop. He feels like that's where his future is. The Yankees have a pretty darn good shortstop in Didi Gregorius, and I think it would be asking a lot to tell your shortstop 60% of the way through the season, hey, we need you to go play somewhere else. And Machado is a guy who, you know, he's going into free agency. He's putting a lot of pressure on himself to perform. To what degree is he going to be committed to winning the World Series, and to what degree is he committed to improving his own stock as a free agent? To me, the Yankees are a very good offensive team. If they're not as good as the Red Sox, they're a couple of swings away from being as good. But if they went out and got another starting pitcher, that to me would scare the Red Sox more than Manny Machado.
Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe with us here after Hours, CBS Sports Radio, after the Red Sox extend their win streak to 9 games now. The Houston Astros are almost a team that it seems like when the Red Sox make a move, the Astros make a move. And certainly they're defending champs, and so they have to be knocked off the throne. But how much attention is paid to the fact that there's another team in the American League that is keeping pace with Boston?
Yeah, well, around Boston, Alex Cora talks about the Astros quite a bit because he was the bench coach there last year. He's very close to A.J. Hinch. He's very close to Alex Bregman and a lot of their players, George Springer, Jose Altuve. When he went to Houston with the team earlier this year and got his World Series ring, it was a very emotional moment. So we hear a lot about the Astros, and I suspect deep down Cora would love nothing more than to play the Astros in the ALCS. That would probably be a fitting way for him to, you know, end or extend his first year as the manager of the Red Sox. And the Astros, when you look at them, are a lot like the Red Sox. They have an ace pitcher in Justin Verlander. They have good speed. They have a player like Mookie Betts in Jose Altuve, or maybe Mookie Betts is like Jose Altuve. They have power. They have speed. They have good defense. I think the Red Sox have a few edges. They have a better closer, obviously. But those are two teams. They split 4 games in Houston earlier this year. I suspect if they played each other in a 7-game playoff, it would go to 7 games.
Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe. It's just a snippet of our conversation. We enjoyed going back and forth about the Red Sox. I asked him, what is their weakness? Because every team has one, right? You can catch the rest of that conversation on our podcast, afterhoursamielawrence.com. Into the studio comes, well, I tried to get him some trolls yesterday, but we just managed to snag one. However, I feel as though it was a big day for you. You're prepared for the next one.
Well, one is more than zero. That is an infinite increase in the trolls in my life. So thank you for that.
Andrew Bogish in studio. Next week, he's going to be hosting our morning show here on CBS Sports Radio. So I feel certain that there's a potential for maybe, I don't know, 3-4 trolls over the course of the week. It's going to be great.
I will be co-hosting with the one and only Taz next week. And Taz has a very strong contingent of fans. As he should, they will give me a hard time next week.
Okay,
that's guaranteed.
I'm looking forward to that. You're going to grow up next week. So we've been talking about iconic 19s in sports because there wasn't just one, but two teams last night who scored 19 runs on 19 hits. I haven't done the full research of entire history of baseball, Andrew, but I feel like that's got to be relatively rare. Not just the 19 runs, but each team had 19 hits for 19 runs.
One, I'm sure you know the pitching nugget from the Diamondbacks loss in Denver, right?
Mm-hmm.
First time since 45 that two position players pitched multiple innings for the same team.
Baseball's weird.
Love baseball.
I do too. So, best 19 in your sports memories?
Not my sports memories. The best 19 for me, obviously didn't see him play, though, Johnny Unitas. Always has a special place in my heart. It's hard for me to not call him the best quarterback in NFL history. There's some great books written about him if you're me and we're not alive to watch him play.
Good YouTube videos.
And obviously that the historic game with the Giants. That's him. It's him. If people have seen play, I'll give you Steve Yzerman. 19 in Detroit off the top of my head. But Johnny U, man, 19.
We've also had some Willis Reed.
Okay.
Yeah, so there have been a bunch of Hall of Famers. Tony Gwynn. I wasn't even thinking. I thought we might do a Twitter poll, and then I realized we had more number 19 Hall of Famers than we had spots
Too
on Twitter.
Too many options.
Yeah. So that's a good one. Thanks so much. I know sometimes when I make you list things, you get very bulky about it.
Yeah,
so
it happens.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
High and deep to right field. This one is way out of here. That'll make a lot of people happy. It'll make Ozzie Albies happy because he's now got 19 homers.
Loop, sets, delivers, and it's socked to center. Pilar on his horse, straight back to the wall, looks up, gone! Straight away center for Ozzie Albies. His second home run in the last two at-bats.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, for a minute there, Ozzie Albies was stuck on the magic number 19 with home runs, but then he had to go and spoil it and hit another one. Hey, great. Thanks a lot. The first-time All-Star for the Atlanta Braves with a pair of homers on Wednesday night. Don Sutton, Jim Powell, Braves Radio Network. It's going to be a lot of fun to see not just the first-timers in the All-Star game, and there are many of them, especially in the National League, but also all of these first-timers in the Home Run Derby. It's like the babies are growing up. And I do not mean that as an insult, so don't send me your tweets. Don't at me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Let's talk to Richard, who's in Oklahoma City. Richard, how's one of my favorite cities in the country this morning?
Right now, dead, because everybody's either at work or asleep.
Well, I'm glad you have me.
Yes, yes. You keep me awake at night. I'm a disabled vet, so I don't sleep much at night, so I listen to you guys every day.
Awesome. Thanks so much, and thank you for your service.
I appreciate it. Now, my question is, who saw the Braves coming out of nowhere this year? We're supposed to be in a rebuild that is supposed to pay out in like a year or two. We were supposed to be bottom dwellers, but Freeman has, he wants an MVP this year. We've got two rookies that want Rookie of the Year. If we could just get one more good starting pitcher, and I'm looking at DeGrom or Noah Syndergaard, we got plenty of guys in the minors we could trade package for. Do you really think they're legit, or is this just a flash in the pan for my lovely Braves?
No, I don't think they're a flash in the pan. Flashes in the pan don't last 91 games, 11 games above 500, and continue to, at this point, have that identical record with the Phillies and stay tied atop the division. So I don't, flash in the pan is past. It's, that's not even a thing now. It can't be. Do I think that they can win a World Series?
No.
Anything can happen in sports. I think, as you point out, they're still maybe a pitcher short. Plus, here's the deal about young teams. Sometimes they have to learn how to win. And the Braves have gone through a bunch of years in which the winning hasn't been there. There's been a lot of transition, of course, not just personnel, but in the managerial staff, the coaching staff. And so, you know, sometimes it takes a little time to win. There are certainly teams that do it without the benefit of experience. But you know what this team reminds me? I'll use a recent example in sports. The Toronto Maple Leafs, 2 years ago when they got into the Stanley Cup playoffs, they had 9 guys who'd never been in the postseason before. And so every game that they went through, fantastic, right? Because they get that experience. You're kind of playing with house money, to use that old cliche in sports. Now, can the Braves surprise some people? Absolutely. But I feel like what's most important is look at them. As you say, they're a surprise. Every single game that they go in advance in the summer where they're in first place and they're trying to defend their territory, they're figuring out how to win. If they get into the postseason, awesome, because all of that is great experience. And maybe they do surprise some people. But it's also a good gauge for what they might need to get better, to get stronger in the future. So I kind of feel like, I know I'm not a Braves fan, so it's easy for me to say, right?
Whoa.
But I kind of feel like, well, I mean, this is my job, man. I can't be a fan of anybody when I'm here in the studio.
Liar. Oh, there's the person who just admitted she's a Sharks fan because of her favorite player.
Yeah, but it's not hockey season, so who cares?
Yeah,
you really going to be upset about the fact that that I'm a Sharks fan in July?
No, no, I'm not.
Yeah. No, so I think for the Braves, it's also about figuring out what else do they need to make this team a legitimate World Series contender.
I really think we just need one more good starting arm. And here, 19, I have to tell this story. He didn't wear number 19, but he's a great player. Chipper Jones, our third baseman forever and a day, it seemed like. My first deployment in Iraq, my parents had season tickets to every Braves game. They've had them since Bobby Cox ran the show. But I'm deployed over in Iraq. They go to a game, and he stayed after the game to sign autographs. They wait. He's my favorite player. They're like, hey, Mr. Jones, would you sign a ball for my son who's overseas? He's like, oh, he's in Iraq. He's like, yeah. Chipper Jones, greatest baseball player, bar none, in my honest opinion, not only signed the ball, took my parents' phone, gave me an email video message, and took another ball back into the dugout, got everybody on the roster to sign the ball, and all the coaching staff. So
wow.
He might not have worn 19, but he's the most iconic in my eyes.
Well,
y'all have a great night, darling.
That's a great story, Richard. Thanks so much for calling from Oklahoma City. Rudy's listening.
I have to tell this story. He didn't wear number 19.
Rudy's actually listening to the radio show, not listening to me. So we're going to put him on hold because I don't really want to hear the story again. It was a great story, but I don't need to hear it again. This weekend, the PGA Tour heads to TPC Deer Run in the Quad Cities community of Silvis, Illinois. Bryson DeChambeau, has been a great 2018 for him. Can he defend his title? And with a win, he could become the FedEx Cup points leader. The John Deere Classic this weekend on CBS. So many tweets. So many tweets. I'm going to have to go back and try to find some YouTube videos of Lance Alworth because that's not a name I was expecting. I also got a tweet from Ian who said Miles Austin is his favorite, number 19 of all time. Miles, who of course spent most of his career with the Dallas Cowboys, did in fact wear 19, and he was fast. I mean, you can see that number 19 flashing through the slot and snaking his way around the field. And so I wasn't expecting that one. It was a little bit out there, but I like the unique ones. There's been a bunch of votes for Jay Buhner too. So a lot of Mariners fans, longtime baseball fans, and also some tweets for Keyshawn Johnson. Joe sends us a list. Great topic. 19 is my favorite number ever. He doesn't elaborate, but then he gives us this list. Joe Sackett, Joe Thornton, Jonathan Toews, Robin Yount, Tony Gwynn, Steve Yzerman, Johnny Unitas, Bob Feller. Lots of Bernie Kosar votes, and I love that too. They're not just Browns fans. He was certainly beloved in the NFL. The fact that he played so long and that he was one of those guys that you kind of thought, oh man, that's going to be terrible. And then just the smarts and the good decision-making. Sometimes when older athletes lose a step or, you know, they're not as fast or not as explosive, what works for them is the brain. You get smarter, you get wiser, and you can outthink and you can outsmart some of the young guns who move first and think second. Let's see. Some of your other tweets. A-Law Radio.
I know how to coach old guys.
Let's see. Stanley goes a little more in depth on Keyshawn. My favorite number 19, former Cowboys, Panthers, Jets, and Buccaneers wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson for football, and then Tony Gwynn for baseball. So it's been a educational show. I really wasn't expecting so many phone calls or tweets and Facebook posts about 19. Rudy, do we have you now? Do we have your full and undivided attention?
Yes. Good morning, Amy. Just calling. I'm probably a little late on the question, but anyway, the 19 I was thinking about was Fred Lynn of Boston. I know the Lynn and Rice combination. I don't know if he's in the Hall of Fame, but he did wear well. Lynn did wear well number 19.
Now, see, those are my favorites. Those are the ones that I didn't see play, and so I like when we have fans who are a little older who saw them play and can
right,
give us some perspective.
Sure.
For sure. And yes, he was inducted. Well, he was inducted into the Red Sox Hall of Fame in 2002 and then to the College Baseball Hall of Fame in 2007.
Okay, I just want to contribute my little information. That's all.
I like it. Thanks so much for hanging on with us this morning.
Okay, bye-bye.
Rudy listening in Baltimore. I like it. I'm looking at a picture of Fred Lynn. What a great smile. He won a lot of awards in Major League Baseball as well. It's been cool to hear from so many different pockets of the country. So that was Baltimore. We had a ton of calls from Baltimore, but Cleveland and Boston. And I've heard from some listeners in San Diego and Chicago and in the Bay Area. In fact, I just saw this tweet coming from Abe, who says one of my favorite players to wear number 19 is Marco Scudero. He was with the San Francisco Giants and caught the last out during the World Series. Those are the moments that you remember, right? Kevin says you'd be hard-pressed to find a better number 19 than Robin Yount. I could go all through these. I know you are all big fans of Joe Montana, but when he wore number 19, that was not his best stuff. It was still good to see him on the field, but I think his iconic number would be the 16, of course, when he was one of the best quarterbacks of all time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now, we had during the show some work to do behind the scenes. For those of you who follow us on Twitter or on Facebook, you know that we've been working on the third annual video version of Ask Amy Anything. Chris came up with some doozies. As usual, Amy embarrassed herself with Ask Amy Anything, because he asked me a couple of questions. What were some of the questions? Let's give people a tease. I can remember a couple of them. One was, if you wrote a book about, not a book about your life, but if you wrote a book, what would the title be, or what would the topic be, and who would the main character be? And I think I surprised you guys with my answer.
That was my favorite answer.
Was it really?
Oh, yeah, not even close. Yeah.
Were you proud that I came up with it off the cuff?
I think you should do it.
You think I should?
Yeah.
When do I have time to write a book?
Well, the subject of the book is something, without giving it away, is something that everybody loves.
That's true. That's a good point. Anyway, so that one was kind of fun. And then the one that wasn't fun was when you asked me about my embarrassing first date story, which, to be honest, that embarrassing story wasn't nearly as embarrassing as the worst date of all time, which somehow you roped me into telling that story. I know you didn't actually rope me into it. It just, you were asking me about the worst ever. And I felt like the worst first date I had was nothing compared to the worst third date I had in my whole life.
You were very candid. It was much appreciated.
Oh, it was so awful. I will never forget it. I mean, I'm not kidding you. When the date was over, I just got out of the car and walked into my apartment and never said a word. And that was the last time we ever spoke. It was so bad. Yes, that whole story is in the video version of Ask Amy Anything. What else? Oh, Isaac asked me if I could only make one recipe for the rest of my life, what would it be? And then there's got to be some, whatever question.
The vacation question.
Oh, the vacation question. If I had a blank check and as much time as I wanted to go on vacation. But they also made me answer the question of what's another great skill I have besides being a talk show host. That one was a stumper. So check it out on our YouTube channel, Facebook, or Twitter. We're back tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.